Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. And we welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and also down in Texas. If you'd like to enlighten your grill, I want you to pay attention to this show. We have got Ray Sheehan, Barbecue Buddha, on today. We're going to be talking to Ray in just a minute. Our music this week is from Blue Oyster Cult. And Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. And I thoroughly endorse that product. If you've ever seen me in person, you would know why. Anyway, so let's talk to Ray. Ray Sheehan, the Barbecue Buddha, coming to us live today from New Jersey. Ray, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, JT?
I'm good. So first question, of course, it's the obvious one. How did you get the handle Barbecue Buddha?
Well, the way that Barbecue Buddha came about was because I had created a line of barbecue sauces and seasonings, and I was going to trademark the name Smoke and Raise Barbecue. And about 2 weeks before I went to get the trademark, somebody else got the name. It wasn't very original, to be honest with you. And you know, I needed a name. You know, our recipes were ready. We were going to bottle. And I thought to myself, you know, we take barbecue really serious. It's almost like a religion. And, you know, the Buddha is a wise sage. So we're saying, you know, we know a little something about barbecue. And if you buy these products, you will too. In fact, I named one of the products Belly Rub because it would bring you good luck in competition if you rubbed the belly of the Buddha.
Right.
So that's how that, you know, came to be. You know, basically we're just saying that, you know, these products are great and they're going to enlighten your grill.
Well, I like that. When you sent me some bio info and all that and the website, and I looked at that and I thought that was actually pretty cool the way you did that. And if I was around you, they would be coming up trying to rub my Buddha belly. So, and you don't look like you have a Buddha belly, Ray. So that's, you're probably pretty safe there.
A little bit.
Let's give our listeners a bit of your history. You've been in the food business and around the food business, not just barbecue and competitive barbecue, but restaurant, seafood, all that for a number of years. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background there?
I have a pretty well-rounded culinary background. I've had every position in the restaurant business from busboy to chef. I went to culinary school. I owned my own business for a while. I had a seafood market. My last position that I had was as a food service director for a natural food store. And so, you know, growing up, my grandparents had a farm in Puerto Rico. I was always around food. They were always cooking, you know, doing like, live fire cooking, barbecuing outside. So I always had an interest in barbecue. But I just had a curiosity, to learn about different foods. And, even at one point, you know, I'm in New Jersey. We would travel to the Philly food terminal and get produce. I got a little van and I drove around delivering to restaurants. You know, I always had the entrepreneurial spirit.
Sure.
And the curiosity to learn about different foods.
So how did that experience help you in developing, you know, the Barbecue Buddha sauces? And you compete You do like to compete on that. So do you think that type of experience, I mean, obviously it can't hurt you, but do you think it gives you a nice little edge to work with?
I would think so because of the flavor profiles. And that edge really shows, I think, in not just barbecue, but definitely in food sport, you know, all the different types of food competitions. I've competed in, like, in just different categories, like bacon, chicken, beef, pork. I mean, there's so many different categories besides the barbecue, or like, you know, in the anything but category. I think that's where the edge would really come out.
Well, I think it's interesting that you are doing this and the experience you have, because my personal experience in barbecue is that although being around it and cooking it and doing all that for a very long time, as long as conventional stuff, sometimes we miss that we can alter that barbecue taste just a little bit and make it good or better. It's just that knowledge that when you can look at something and say, you know, maybe we should put pineapple and avocados together or whatever, you know, whatever. but it's not
right.
You
like,
probably do that, but you could.
Layering the flavors.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and the natural food world that I was in for a number of years, that really taught me a lot about what I want to look for in different products and what I want to stay away from. So when I went to create the Barbecue Buddha products, I wanted to create a line that was healthy-minded. I mean, you know, these sauces and seasonings are going to go on many different types of protein and vegetables, barbecue in particular, but some people just use them to dip, you know, their stuff in. They just use them for seasoning, like the belly rub is low in sodium, so it works well with my Zen steak rub. They can pair well together. But, you know, the thing with that was I learned that I wanted to create products that didn't have MSG, that didn't have high fructose corn syrup, but still had good flavor. So that, in that sense, being in the natural food world, that did help me, you know, to create these products.
Well, so much of the barbecue stuff is, like you said, high fructose corn syrup, tremendous amount of sodium, which, honestly, I'm of the age that I grew up on that stuff, so it doesn't bother me. But once in a while, when somebody does it a little different and gives it a little fresher taste, not necessarily a lighter taste, but a fresher taste, I'm in. I want to see it. I want to taste it.
You know, for competition, I mean, I do have to kick it up a little bit because it is, you know, a lot of times it comes down to a one bite contest. And for me, the, you know, I don't want to overdo it with the salt, but I would put a layer of, you know, a little kosher salt with the belly rub to just boost it up a little bit.
Oh, sure. And that's one of the things that goes back to your experience, you know, your life experiences and being able to assess whether it's competition, whether it's for consumers, or whether it's for private use, whatever. You kind of, as we say in my world, you got to know your audience.
Right. That's so true.
Yes. You say, and on your website and stuff, that, you know, when we were just talking about it, the healthy without certain ingredients in them, and that, is that catching on? And I'll forewarn you, we've got about just under a minute to before we go to break, but, and we can finish this up on the other side of the break, but is that taste difference that you're creating, is that catching on?
Oh, certainly is. You know, we've been doubling our number of stores every year for the last couple years. We're in even a few natural food stores that do very well with the products. But I would say that, it's definitely catching on because people are more aware. Education is key. And once people realize that it's not good to have, you know, the high levels of sodium or high fructose corn syrup, and all these artificial preservatives, they're willing to pay a little bit more for something that is still has a lot of flavor.
Absolutely. Hey, we've been talking to Ray Sheehan here, the Barbecue Buddha, and we were going to come back and talk to Ray some more right after this on Barbecue Nation. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Dr. Dave is down at Daytona this week, and we've got Ray Sheehan with us, the Barbecue Buddha. If you'd like to email us, it's very simple. That's bbqnation@alphamediausa.com. That's bbqnation@alphamediausa.com. We also have a Facebook page, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. I'd like to say hi to a couple of our affiliates this week, KVI News 570 up in Seattle, and KACI, the Dalles Hood River, up in the frozen Columbia Gorge this week. A little later on, we're going to be giving away to those who earn it a subscription to the National Barbecue News. So I'll be asking a question at the end of this segment. I'm not asking Ray because Ray would already know the answer to this, but I'll ask the listeners and then they can email it in. And if you win, then you're going to get a year subscription for National Barbecue News. Just so happens that Ray writes a column for National Barbecue News. And I've read several of your columns, and I must say that I am impressed with some of your recipes. And the other thing, the one I'm reading here, I don't think it's quite the latest edition, but wasn't that far back, maybe one edition back, when you did your pepper-crusted Terrace Major. I like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of people probably don't even know what a Terrace Major is. I happen to, but that's just because I like those kinds of things. But I thought you were very creative, especially in your onion sauce. And you want to talk about that? How you came up with this recipe?
You know, it's a constant thing that every month, I am looking for something kind of unique to. And I want it to be inspiring. I don't want to do like the run of the mill recipes. So I try to offer something good. A Terrace Major is also known as a petite filet, and it is super tender. And what better thing to make with it than a caramelized onion steak sauce? You know, something that's kind of rich, complex, yet add a little sweetness to the sauce. So, you know, like I said, every month I'm trying to come up with something that's really going to, like, you know, kind of inspire people to, like, get out there and cook. I don't want it to be something like, oh, yeah, here's another lame recipe. So, you know, for Valentine's Day, I did a grilled chocolate bread pudding and a smoked prime rib, you know, just to get people to realize, you know, there's so many different things that you can do with your grill. I want them to get up out of their seat, go to the store, buy some of these ingredients, and actually make them.
Well, and the one thing I like about it, Ray, is that you can do these on the grill, and if you wanted to, you could easily do these in the kitchen.
Right.
You know, yeah. And I think that's one of the things sometimes the hardcore barbecue guys miss that I've interviewed, and they're all great people. Don't get me wrong, but you know, if it's not done out there on a smoker or a grill, God forbid a gas grill, that it, you know, it's not real. And I always kind of preach like, hey, well, you know, whatever blows your skirt up, because if you like this and you like the way you cook it, that's fine with me.
I agree with that. I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, you have to like it if you're going to be the one eating it. No, like you said before, know your audience. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. How difficult was it to get your mindset around barbecue, and especially competitive barbecue? I mean, you just didn't walk out there one day and say, hey, here I am, I'm a star. I mean, nobody does that.
No.
You know, it's a lot of work. So how did you, tell us your process there.
So when I like I said, I've always been around food, and I've always had a curiosity with barbecue. And then this little show came on called Barbecue Pitmasters. Right. I would sit around watching this show and get inspired by it. And, you know, we would always go to the bookstore, and I would see this book. It's Myron Mixon's book, Smoking, I think it was. And I wanted to buy it, and I just kept hemming and hawing. And then finally, my wife gifted me a smoker and this book. And that's, I got my start. So around the same time, there was a local barbecue team that was, you know, kind of recruiting, looking for a couple extra hands. And I started helping them out. So then I got to see what it's like to actually do a competition and experience, you know, the rush of it, the thrill of it, the camaraderie of all the other, the competitors. So that's how I got started in it, just by helping another team. I actually, it's not very glamorous. I got started, you know, washing dishes and doing prep work, you know?
Well, so, that's kind of how we all start in the food business, isn't it?
Yeah. So absolutely. I mean, and it was really so fun. And then I started, you know, making my sauces and rubs, and they were well received. So then I said, you know, I can do this. This is really a lot of fun, and it's really cool. And then I started the Barbecue Buddha competition team, and with no expectations, just for fun. And really, for me, it's about marketing my products as well.
Sure.
And a lot of these events, you know, they're KCBS, they're for charity. So it's really a win-win all the way around, you know. So that's how I got started doing the competitions. But, you know, and then I spread out to do, I'm competitive, and I love to cook. So, you know, I got into it and was lucky enough to win a golden ticket to go to the World Food Championships a couple years ago and compete in seafood. And, you know, and I'm not above doing small local competitions just because they're usually for charity. And for me, I keep it local. It does help, you know, to benefit, like, the marketing for my products.
So, absolutely.
And it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's the most important thing. We're talking with Ray Sheehan here, the Barbecue Buddha, and we are going to take a break and come back. I know you're all waiting out there breathlessly for the next segment, but Ray and I will be back in just a couple minutes right here on Barbecue Nation. Stay with us. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033. That's Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Ray Sheehan, the Barbecue Buddha, with us this afternoon. Really quick, the trivia question, and that's for the subscription to the National Barbecue News. We had Paul Kirk on a week or so ago, and Paul is known as what? What is his handle? Okay. Ray is the Barbecue Buddha. I'm the Cowboy Cook. What is Paul Kirk's handle? You email that to me at barbecuenation, that's BBQNation, at alphamediausa.com, and first three or four that send me the right answers, I'll make sure you get a subscription to the National Barbecue News. How's that? You know that answer, Ray?
I do, but I'm gonna just
defer.
Stay quiet over here.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you would. Oh, and by the way, this portion is brought to you by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes beef products that you can feel good about. And my friends down at Barclays, what are you going to do with your tax refund? How about buying some gold and silver or other collectibles for Barclays in Woodburn? You can check them out at Barclays, buysellpawn.com. You can do that. They've got lots of stuff in there. Also, we've got SoundCloud. You just have to go to SoundCloud if you want to hear it this way and go Barbecue Nation. Type it out, the whole word, barbecue, then Nation with JT. And lastly, one more time, our email is barbecuenation@alphamedia.com. Whew, there, got it all in. Now we can get back talking to Ray. God, that takes a minute and a half to do all that stuff. What did your wife think of the Barbecue Buddha name? Did she, when she's like, maybe you should be like Shining Ray or something, or just different?
No, she loved it right from the get-go. She's been extremely supportive. When I said, "What do you think of Barbecue Buddha?" she was like, "Oh, that's a great name." And then, you know, getting the trademark on that name for my sauces and seasonings, that was a win. That was amazing. The feeling to be able to get that, because I feel like that was something that people would recognize when they see that. They're like, you know, it's different. So.
Did she ever come by and give you any grief, rub you on the head and say, "Listen, Buddha, I want you to shape up here, pal."
Yeah, I've been told, hey, Buddha, you got a little bit of that belly going there. You might want to start working out, you know.
So yeah.
The little things like that, little jabs.
Little jabs.
She works out, so she's very fit.
I was talking to Jeff Thiessen yesterday from Louisiana Grills, and they own Pit Boss Smokers and Grills, and Jeff's in his 40s, and he was talking about, he said, man, his wife put him on a diet last year. He goes, that was brutal. He goes, I'm only 40, but, you know, guy's got to eat. And he was telling us about how his wife cut out for him. You know, he said, but I had to have my steak. I love my steak. So he goes, that was off the table. There was no cutting out my red meat.
No.
So that was...
Definitely love red meat. One of my favorite things to cook is brisket. So,
oh yeah,
that's I can't go without the red meat.
So,
I mean, I can cut down a little bit, but
yeah,
you know, it's not easy being a food sport competitor. I tell her I'm in training. I got to do this.
I used to tell my wife that about scotch, because when I quit drinking, for the most part years ago, and it was nothing other than I just decided it was time to stop. I know the price index on scotch distilleries went way down. They were losing money. So probably the same thing with barbecue at this point. You still there, Ray?
I'm here.
Okay. I thought I heard a click there. I didn't want to lose you like that. You know, how do you, you just mentioned brisket. How do you do your brisket? I mean, in the years I've been doing this show now, there's been a multiple, as you can imagine, ways to explain how different people do their brisket. Some, it's the low and swell, slow 12 to 13 hours, which is traditional, which is great. Some guys now are going, you know, I put it in at 450 degrees for 27 and a half minutes, and I pull it out and I wrap it up and I stuff it in an iceberg or something, you know? So, I mean,
right.
Tell us Ray's little process there.
I typically cook a little hotter, like not super hot, but I'll cook at 300.
Uh-huh.
I'll season it up with our Zen steak rub, which is basically salt, pepper, garlic, and some little bit of herbs in there. And I'll cook it about 165. I wrap, and then, you know, I'll knock out a brisket in about, you know, 7-8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll do the same thing. I mean, I'm spritzing it and I'm, you know, taking it along, and then I like to wrap it and let it rest in the cooler as well for a couple hours. I try resting to me is just as important, if not more than important, than, you know, the rest of the cook, because you could really do a great job cooking it to your specifications, but if you don't rest it and you cut it too soon, it's going to be
a bit.
It's not going to be its best quality.
It's going to be a little chewy there, Maynard. Among other things. You know, the first time we don't know each other, but the first time I saw somebody wrap something was back in maybe 1999 or something like that, and I had never really seen that before. Maybe it was the year 2000, and I had was doing a in-store thing for the meat company that we work with here, Painted Hills. And I showed up to do this thing, and it's a huge event, and there's about 3,000 or 4,000 people going to come through the line and want to talk to you and sample and all this stuff every day. And so I said, where's the meat? You know, because they had everything else set up. I said, where's the meat? And they said, right there. And I looked around, and I didn't see anything. I said, right where? They said, right there in those two coolers. And I was like, wow, okay. And so the guy, really nice, he pulls it out, and he unwraps it right there. And it's just, as he unwraps it, my eyes are just, like, shining, twinkly, bright, looking at this, you know. And the juices are getting all over the place, and I'm loving that. And so I get to, you know, sawing on it, and it just cuts so easy and all that. And I was like, how'd you, you know, kind of explain to me how he did it that way. And the other thing I said is, why did you do it that way? He goes, well, we were actually doing ribs, standing rib roast. He goes, you know, we have 27 of these to cook today. We can't do them all at once or stagger them. We don't have the staff, you know, to do this. So, you know, they had four coolers, so I don't know how many they got in each cooler, but they did it. They got them all done. And I was just strictly amazed at that. So ever since then, I've been kind of a believer in that. Sometimes I don't like to wrap them. Sometimes I like to go more traditional like that. But most of the time, I do like to see what they're like.
You know, I think when you do it more traditional, I mean, I would have to say I think the bark is improved. But you could definitely preserve the bark by venting it, you know, after you pull it off the cooker, vent it a little bit before you, you know, put it away in that cooler. But I, you know, there's something to be said for the traditional style. I mean, if I have a little bit more time, then I would do that. But most of the time, you know, the way things are today, everyone's on the go. And I tried to, my main thing is I want to put out a good product. And as long as it's not compromising the quality, then we're good. But I have a pretty good timeline for competition. You know, I know my cooker and I know what I can put in it, and that seems to work for me. So, I mean, it depends on what you're going for and how much room you have in your cooker and really who your audience is. You know, is it for catering? Is it for competition?
Sure.
Yeah.
We've got about a minute left here, Raiden, before we go to break. But what kind of cooker do you use?
I have a couple different ones, but the main one that I use for competition is a gravity-fed Vulcan, like a Myron Mixon cooker.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, it's got the military-grade insulation, and it works great for competitions. It's, you know, I can start off with a couple big butts in there and my brisket, and later on in the cook we'll put four racks of ribs in, and then when that stuff's coming off we'll put the chicken on, you know, so it's great for that.
Oh yeah, you can't beat that. And when you start talking about, you know, racks of ribs and brisket and the chicken and that, you've got my attention. I can just tell you that. I'll be hanging around your camp all day. Ray and I are going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the radio portion of our show here on Barbecue Nation. And then we're going to head off into the after hours right after this. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We're talking with Ray Sheehan there, the barbecue Buddha, back from New Jersey. People give you a grief from being in New Jersey and wanting to call barbecue because they always think that barbecue is like the deep south or the southwest.
So I think maybe a little bit in the beginning, but then there came a day where I got a phone call from my friend Mike. My friend Mike has Messy Mike's Barbecue. And he says, I'm at the Awards of Excellence in Texas, and you just won first place for your Memphis Mop Sauce. And I said, are you kidding? Is this a joke? I said, that's not nice. Just because I'm from Jersey, you know, making fun of me. He goes, you won first place against all these major brands. You got it. So I went home. I turned on Facebook. They're having like a Facebook Live award ceremony. And sure enough, Barbecue Buddha, our Memphis Mop Sauce, won first place at the Awards of Excellence in Texas for the NBBQA. So at that moment, I had a little slice of legitimacy, because barbecue in New Jersey is like, you know, Italian food in, in the Deep South.
Right.
There's not a lot. And it's hard to get, you know, inspired. There are some really great pit masters in my area, don't get me wrong. But to your point, yes, I did feel that a little bit in the beginning. But, you know, I do my best to get myself out there and to learn. I took classes. There really is a class for everything. I took a barbecue class with Bob Trudnack from Barbecue Guru. I also took a class with Tuffy Stone down in Richmond, Virginia. His Cool Smoke Barbecue class, and, you know, practice is the only way to get better and to learn about your cue, your cooker, your food, you know. So, like I said, I try to put myself out there and just learn as much as possible and travel. And when we were in, driving to the World Food Championships in Orange Beach, Alabama, we hit every barbecue place on the way down. Taking a trip to the shed in Mississippi after the competition and, you know, getting inspired by some great barbecue there as well. So, you got to get out there and taste it and see what the real deal is, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, you were guilty through association, because when they used to do that salsa commercial and they'd say, where is this salsa made? And they'd say, it's made in New Jersey. You know, remember Cowboys and Campfire, and they were about as much cowboys as, you know, some of these other people are that I know. So anyway, we're going to wrap up the show here in a minute, and we're going to have Ray stay with us for the after hours portion. So that'll be fun. And when you did your cooker, did you help make any modifications, any design changes on it, or did you just kind of go with what was there?
When I purchased my cooker?
Yes.
So when I purchased this this particular model, it was actually the prototype. It was the prototype to all of his gravity-fed cookers.
Huh, okay.
So I didn't make any changes other than putting it on a cart on wheels. Later on, I purchased the Meadow Creek TS-250. With the chicken cooker on the front, and I made a lot of modifications to that. You know, it has the stainless steel racks inside, and then upgraded the steam, like everything to stainless as much as possible.
Sure.
And the chicken cooker is insulated up front. But so I did make modifications to that one. But to the first one, the one that I used most of the time, no, I actually got a good deal on it because it was used by Myron in the testing for his gravity-fed cookers.
Oh, Myron's a hoot.
I never got to meet him, or I haven't yet, but definitely, when I was starting out, you know, his big, brash, bold approach was something that drew me in, You know, my first cookbook, barbecue cookbook, was actually Paul Kirk's Championship Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, when I first started with the barbecue news, I mean, I was like, I couldn't even believe that they put my recipe and his, like, at one time on the same page or the same, you know, when you opened it up flat, one on each page.
Like, sure.
I'm just really, you know, inspired by Mr. Kirk. He's an amazing chef and a barbecue pit master. You know, he's everything in a bag of chips that I would, you know, hope to be. And, you know, him and Tuffy and, you know, and Dr. Barbecue, Ray Lampe. I love his cookbook writing and his recipe style. You know, there's so many people in this business that are inspiring to me. I'm just grateful to be, you know, in the same stratosphere as well.
Absolutely. You are, Ray. You are. We're going to get out of here. Rishian, I thank you for being with us. The Buddha.
Thank you so much.
Barbecue Buddha. Right there. For everybody here at the Turn It, Don't Burn It Studios, please have a good week.